Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Yo Profs, okay? I'm Ronnie, and that's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing, hon?
I am so excited to talk about this crazy Southern Charm reunion. Wow, I spent like 3 hours taking notes on it because every single detail was insane, Madison. It's insane.
You talk about my kids and I am going to wake up.
For 5 seconds, I'll go back to sleep again. Yes.
Yes, before I chug another beer and fall back asleep on a park bench somewhere. Everybody, thank you so much for being here. We love you. This is a Crappens On Demand Day, which means we're on video. Hi.
So if you want that, go to Patreon. Sign up for Patreon. Become a Crappens On Demand level member. Okay.
And you know what? I'm wearing a t-shirt that someone gave me. I think in Nashville, I believe a lovely young lady gave me a t-shirt. It says Square Books. And it's a bookstore in Oxford, Mississippi. So this is a very Southern t-shirt. So look, I'm wearing it right here.
Fascinating stuff. Square Books.
Square Books.
So today we are doing Southern Charm, the end. We didn't know if this was going to be two or three, but it's two.
I thought it was going to be three. I was delighted when it was like, and it's done. I mean, it was actually an excellent reunion. I thought it was fantastic. It's just that reunions for me are really hard because it's just like a wall of talking for an hour, which is great to watch. But when you're recapping and you're taking notes, it's like you become a court reporter, and it's really hard for me to do it.
Yeah. So
like, I love reunions, but then when they're over, I'm like, thank God it's over. I don't have to write every single comma.
You're a reporter in a court of law. Okay. Yeah. This one was definitely one of notes on every little thing because Austin's,
it was so good.
Just flat out crying killed me. I loved it. I loved every second.
this may have gone down as like for sure a top two reunion for me for Southern Charm, if not maybe the best one that we've ever had. I don't know. There were some really good ones, especially the Ashley year, but this is a great reunion. It just it was so good. It was hilarious.
So we open with Craig is still sitting back like he's Bill Gates being interviewed by Oprah or whatever. It's like, yeah, I did it. I invented computer chips on a moon. Like, yeah, I did it. Stupid Craig. You make a few pillows, Craig. Get over yourself. I mean, congratulations.
Congratulations.
But also, you know, get over yourself, okay?
Yeah, I'm sure Harris Teeter will be calling soon because that is apparently the high watermark for business success.
Harris Teeter?
Ronnie and I don't have anything in Harris Teeter, guys.
We
got nothing. Fun fact, Ronnie and I did go into a Harris Teeter and we bought in North Carolina, and I think we bought spooky decorations that we named Vicky Gunvalson for our show there, right? Isn't that what we did in Harris Teeter?
Yep. Yeah, we were at a Harris Teeter. Okay.
Inessential story.
The whole time because its name is Harris Teeter. You know,
Harris Teeter. Sorry, that story had no arc. So, it's
no one took notes on that story. Okay,
yeah,
yeah, that story was fine. It was a great story. Harris Teeter.
Harris Teeter. So then we see Andy. He goes, "All right." He just. All right. I'm like, okay. All right. And then Austin goes, "Andy, are we moving on to Pringle right now? Because I really have to pee so badly. Mind if I just go pee right now?"
And then if we're going to move on to somebody else, I'll just go pee. Like, you're all still on film, bud. And so then everyone's like, oh my gosh, I got to pee too. I can pee. So everybody goes to pee. And of course, the guys are like, hey, let's shotgun a beer. And then just cuts to Pringle chugging his medicine. God bless his heart. His medicine for that terrible shake he has.
Yeah. So they're all backstage and Shep is like, Craig, you came after me. What's wrong with you? You're like, I'd have broken up with you. Come on. You're supposed to have my back a little bit, bro. It's like Shep asking Craig to have his back is the most hilarious thing. Why would he ever expect that from Craig after 7 years of Shep just pushing Craig under bus after bus after bus.
Yes. And Craig's like, well, you know, I was saying
saying that because I, like, took so much shit from Madison, but, like, also I would have broken up with you, so.
And then Andy sees Madison in the hall, and he's like, Madison, do people tell you you look like Jessica Simpson? No, Andy, she's never heard that before, okay? Has this just dawned on Andy right now? And she's like, yeah, Dixon Patrick version.
If Jessica Simpson were a monster, an absolute monster.
You're a monster, Madison. You're a monster. Disgusting, Madison.
At Halloween, they're going to start singing the Madison Mash. Do the Madison Mash.
God. Charlize is going to star in a movie about you, Madison.
She's going to win an Oscar for being you in a movie called Monster.
So we're back on set, and Leva's like taking a selfie for poop tea or whatever she's, you know, advertising for at that moment, and mm-hmm. Pringle just goes, everybody looks like they're coming in hot.
except Pringle. And then
Pringle's like the secretary on 9 to 5 when everybody comes fuming out of the office and she's drunk and she's just like, atta girl. That's Pringle. He's just like, yeah, you tell him. Yeah, hey, you're doing great today, hon.
So hide your girlfriend and lock your liquor cabinets because Southern Charm's newest cast member is single and ready to Pringle.
That's right. Here I am. I'd like to say, really love being on Southern Charm, okay? You know what? They took down a statue and I went out on a date with it, okay? It didn't talk very much. And I was like, you know what? I'm a woman. I have my own business and I don't need a man, okay?
You know what? I thought I'd drop by South Carolina on my way back from Mar-a-Lago, okay? Because you know what? A lot of people are mad at me because I went and had dinner at Mar-a-Lago, but I only went there because I thought it was called Mario Loves You, okay? So I went there, and I was like, oh, Mario wants to have a date with me in Florida, okay? Turns out I was there with Eric Trump, okay? I'm sorry. It's a totally different person. Common mistake.
Well, Pringle, everyone's online is saying that your celebrity lookalike is Peter Dinklage, Michael Shannon, or Bam Margera. What do you think of that?
And Chef's like, Peter Dinklage, that's outrageously awesome.
And, he's like, well, he's a handsome dude, so, I'm sort of into it. And then Shep is like, Shep earlier in the season said Pringle is the guy that you'd be nervous to leave a girlfriend around. And Shep explains why he said that. He goes, well, Pringle almost played football in Georgia. Almost. But he didn't. And now look at him. Look, this is a paragon of a man who almost was and never will be. That's why I'm nervous for him.
No kidding. It's like Pringle's LinkedIn. It's like almost. Pringle, almost. Pringle's like, yep, pretty spot on. Like, he's so proud of almost making it. And Andy's like, Madison, what was your first impression of Pringle?
And it's like, well, you know, I was real hesitant because he was friends with Shep, but he was semi-decent to me. I mean, he wasn't that inappropriate with me.
Yeah, not at first. And so,
Pringle goes, yeah, my eyes were all up here, baby. All up here, baby.
All up. My eyes were all up here, but the thing is that my back was turned, so I guess technically I was looking down like that. So why did Pringle? Why'd you move to Charleston, huh? And he's like, well, I was floundering, and I tried out San Diego, and it wasn't a good fit. So I needed to come back here where I had some sort of family and support, friend wise, which was his like nice canned answer that was supposed to be like and scene. But then Craig is like, you talk so much about how you love your kids. So why did you leave though? Why did you leave?
He's Craig is really such a coked out asshole in this whole thing. He's like, hey, I just got to come in and say something now. It's like, no, you don't. Why are you talking? By the way, please never stop talking because it made this reunion amazing.
Yeah, and so Shep's like, well, he wasn't with his mother. With her mother, that's why. It's like, well, I left to make a better life for my children. Thank you, John Pringle for Congress. And he's like, but, like, why are you back in Charleston? Like, he trades off his computer. Why are you back in Charleston? Craig, how much more does he have to pussyfoot around the fact that he was offered a role on a TV show? He came for a TV show.
Shit.
Your TV show, the one that you're on right now.
Yeah, I'd like drop my kids off at the orphanage if I was offered a TV show. I'd be like, bye. Bye, Bueller. Have fun. This nun with a ruler in her hand is going to be very sweet to you. Have fun. Maybe I'll see you soon. Call me when you've got a job. Okay.
Yeah. And he's like, well, if you're in a city, Craig, and it's not working and you have an opportunity, I won't say what the opportunity is, but it's sort of all around us right now. We're in it. We're actually actively participating in the opportunity, and it's across the country. You have to take it, okay? It's going to make your kid's life better in the long run, right? Maybe you might become a pillow baron out of it, Craig. Do you see what I'm saying, Craig?
He's like, but I want you to know that if I wake up to piss, I feel guilty, and then I can't go back to sleep. I can't go back to sleep. But you went to sleep in the first place. That's why you had to wake up to piss, okay? I don't want your middle-of-the-night guilt. I want daytime guilt, okay? I think that's what Craig is going for. I don't want your drunken middle-of-the-night beer piss guilt.
If I wake up and I pee, I have so much guilt about your kids. No, the cleaning lady mainly, because a lot of times I miss the bowl. So I just have a lot of guilt about that.
And Catherine's like, I get it, because, if you're a parent and you're not 100, you can't give 100. And yeah. He's like, yeah, thanks. And Craig's like, well, I just wanted to ask. He's like, well, did I answer? Because if you come at me about my kids, I will wake the fuck up. And he's like, yeah, okay. And then Pringle okay. Just like you said, like his head just goes right back down like Big Bird, and he's out.
He's like, I will wake the fuck up, and then I will feel so guilty and won't be able to go back to sleep again.
Now, only if I wake up and I pee. Now, if I just wake up, I'll go back to sleep. But if I wake up to pee, I'm going to come at
guilt.
You.
The guilt. I could be peeing in California.
And so, he's like, so how did your ex react to the show? And he's like, oh, she's incredibly supportive. She loves it. I mean, I'm not there anymore, so she's loving that, basically.
Yeah, no more pee stains on the bathroom anymore in the middle of the night. I mean, she loves that.
No more guilt written in piss on the wall in the middle of the night. So that's good.
She really likes it. Now at 4 a.m., she doesn't overhear me singing along to some of the greatest hits of Fiddler on the Roof. Just so much guilt I have. So much guilt.
And she kind of looks like Madison, which is crazy. Madison looks like Jessica Simpson, which makes me wonder, has anybody ever told your wife that she looks like Jessica Simpson?
She's like, well, she acts like me, and she cracks the whip, and you're definitely the Disney dad. Which, I felt like sounded like a compliment to him, but I actually think that was not a compliment.
No, it's a diss. It's like, you're the good guy. You're the good dad, the one that the kids like. But also, if you just go a little deeper, aren't all Disney dads dead? I mean, basically, Disney kills off all the parents,
Or they're just like
not there.
Terrible parents. Like, the kids are always rebelling, right? Like, no. Ariel didn't really listen to her dad, even though he's hot. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. King Triton was alive. But, yeah, a lot of them.
And hot.
He was hot. Now, that is a zaddy, okay?
That is a zaddy. That's the original zaddy is King Triton. I mean, that movie really had it all for the gays, didn't it?
It really did.
Well, also, Princess Jasmine's dad was a little, he was easily manipulated. He was easily besieged by Jafar.
Jafar's tricky, and he's also very intimidating, Jafar. Mm-hmm. He's, tall, and he had that mustache, and his eyes would, glow and stuff.
Mustafa?
Also, I don't really blame the dad. I mean, your daughter's dating a guy who flies around on a carpet. Seriously? Mm-hmm. That's your job? Do better, more from my daughter. I don't think anything was wrong with the dad. I think as you get older, you see how many parents, actually had a point.
But also, the dad in The Lion King's Mustafa, right? Mm-mm. Or is that just
No, Mustafa's the bad guy.
No, that's Scar's the bad guy.
Oh, Scar's the bad guy. Oh,
well, either way, the dad in The Lion King.
I just watched The Lion King, too, the live action one. It was so good. Mufasa.
Mufasa. That makes more. I was like, why does Mustafa not sound quite right? So Mufasa, either way.
You're like, is the muffaletta from The Lion King the good guy? I'm like, that is the most delicious sandwich at Jason's Deli. Yes, you're correct.
He is generally a good father. Although, he honestly raised a real Yeah, I mean, honestly, Simba's not great. I'll say it. He's like a brat.
What'd Simba do? Simba was great. He's like Simba now the Lion King, so.
Simba was a brat and then just like wandered around as like a stoner as a teenager. And then, I mean, he finally like found it. He finally found it. But like, you know, I think you have to always blame the parents.
Yeah, you do. And his child became the king. So I think Mufasa did a pretty good job. Okay.
How about the dad by an evil hyena?
No.
How about the dog? How about the dog? The dad in 101 Dalmatians.
Who even pays attention to that dad? That dad's a loser. Okay, who even cares about him? Let all his dogs
get abducted.
Wow, we're treading on thin ice here, Ben.
For all those Disney dad apologists, I'm just trying to come up with. I was just trying to think of dads. Then I was like, what Disney movie can I think of? And then how can I make it fit the argument?
Well, I think maybe Pringle is more like the dad in Toy Story.
Absent.
Yeah, you just never see him. So Andy's like, all right, here we go. Oh, no, I'm back at the I'm going to pee part. Damn it. Why would I scroll? Okay. I really was standing so hard for Mufasa that I scrolled all the way back to the beginning.
Yeah,
so
I didn't realize I had really, I probably triggered a lot of people with that. And to that I say, you're welcome. It's good to feel things, right? So Austin, I actually never really had an opinion on the Lion King dad until really as soon as I started talking. So Austin!
The worst dad was Cinderella's dad. That was a real fucker. Well, he married an evil person and then let that lady just treat her kid like total crap.
What about Sleeping Beauty's dad? They Did let that have, lady
I think he died, right?
Well...
God, we don't... I'm sorry he, I opened well,
did
it
he,
again.
Did he... Didn't he... Didn't he, like, how did Maleficent get into the mix again? Did she just, wasn't she wronged by him? Or was she, I don't really remember the Sleeping Beauty story.
I don't know, but like, now I've seen Maleficent, and I'm like, oh, she meant well, you know, so it's all okay. So I can't have an opinion on that, because modern making the villain the hero has ruined my brain, okay? Love you, Maleficent!
I need to think back. I'm a little fuzzy on my Oliver and Company. But I'm sure there was a bad dad in that.
My dad was a good dad and was like, that movie looks stupid. And I was like, good.
But it had Richard Mulligan. So, Austin. Okay, speaking of the great mouse detective, let's talk about Austin. So how does it make you feel that Patricia was making Madison straight up? Well, even when you two were together. And we see a clip of Patricia saying like, so Pringle, you ever thought about going over the battery and bringing Madison with you on a romantic date? Ever thought about that? He's like, well, I think that she's with Austin. Not for long. Flapping my hands. Not for long.
And Austin's like, well, she was over the moon we were together, Andy. Over the moon, Andy. And they're like, when was that? And he's like, last year. And now Madison solidified herself on the show, and it's like, you know, let's pawn her off to the first drunk I see. Which
that was the problem.
Is
that
hilarious. Was
you were the first drunk she saw. That was the problem.
He just called Pringle a drunk, and Pringle just kind of like shrugs, like, you know. And Madison's like, okay, that is rude. And he's like, well, nothing she said is not rude, Madison. And Shep's like, Madison, she is definitely desirous for you to be with someone else. Got a book coming out.
Desirous by Shep. So Madison is like, I have known her for 12 years. I mean, what I can say is that she has never done me wrong. And you, on the other hand, have done me wrong so many times, Austin. And she goes, she pays you to do her no wrong, Madison. She pays you, okay? A yearly salary to wash her hair. It's like, yeah, it's called doing business, Austin. That's how that works.
Yeah. And she's like, well, I will stay by her side. Okay. And he's like, oh, yeah. Andy goes, well, this is her big client. Can you kind of see why she wouldn't go against Patricia? She's like, you're just mad that the income that I make from her is more than you make in a year.
Let me ask you a question. Do you cut people's hair in Harris Teeter? I don't think so. Case dismissed. It's insane right now.
So, Pringle, after watching how this season unfolded, do you feel duped at all by Patricia? And he's like, well, she was pushing it in a direction that was incendiary, okay? I said it
was her name was Cindy Airy, and I thought, you know what, I do like that Cindy Airy, and I want to give her a shot. So yes.
So why'd you do it then? He's like, well, I didn't know at the time, and I mean, Madison's a babe. And Craig goes, yeah, you just thought she was hot. And he's like, that's why I just said she's a babe, Craig.
As if all those guys on that stage haven't just gone after any girl because they're hot, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, he's with that Natalie girl because of her, you know, pleasant, charming laugh.
So Craig's like, it's just extremely weird because they're talking about a Pringle broke guy code. It's just extremely weird. You don't just like get to say, hey, I'm going to try to court your girlfriend right now. I'm like, yes, that's true. But also, have you seen any romantic movie in the history of movies? That's what every single dude does in a romantic movie. And we're always like, oh, he's just so he's just such a man. He's going after what he wants. And then this is what happens. This is what happens, people. Okay. This is what happens.
Yeah, and then the alternative is him just not telling Austin and going after Madison anyway. So then they'd be like, you were doing that behind your friend's back. At least he's being honest about it. And now I'm sticking up for Pringle, which is really uncomfortable. So I'm going to move on. So Love is like, so is that just your shtick? I mean, why would you even do that? Say I'm trying to court your girlfriend. And he's like, well, you know, I wouldn't really do it. I mean, it took us quite a while to kind of get where we were. And Madison's like, oh, really? Because he just told me 3 days ago that he's into me. You did.
Pringle would sleep with her tonight if she came to her to your room. I mean, I will call you trash all day long, Madison, but not in this example. You're actually not trash in this example. See, I'm not slut shaming. Slut shame exemption.
Pringle's like, no, I wouldn't. I mean, this just means too much to me, which I don't know what he means too much.
Free beer. Free beer.
I got a
free beer hookup from Harris Teeter. I mean, this is too much.
Listen, I've been here 12 hours, I've had free beer, haven't had to sit on a bus bench, and there's air conditioning, so I'll do whatever I can to keep this going, boys.
Except pee right now, because I can't deal with the guilt that will happen afterwards. And then she's like, well, where'd you go? He didn't say that. And so then, now Pringle is telling Madison that he is just like, I guess we go to commercial and then afterwards, yeah, he's like, oh God, Craig. He's like, look at him, he's drunk. They're like, yeah, he's drunk. Look at him, he's just wasted. And they just cut to Craig, and his hair is all messy, and he's just like
his hair is all over the place, and he's like, hey, is he housed? And she's like, he's a mess. So Andy's like, all right, we're back, Madison. People on the internet are saying that you might have made some tweaks to your body. What's going on with that? And she's like, well, I had a mommy makeover, a lift, a tuck. I got a new ankle. Back of my elbow skin is now made out of fruit roll-ups, which is very dangerous, but my kid likes to lick them. Got new eyelashes. Got the back of my head taken out and the battery put in.
The quarterback from the Bears. I got one of those.
She starts listing all of her shit, which is so bravo. And, you know, good for her. Listen, if I had money, I would totally be in a body cast the entire time from shit I'm getting done. You know, why not? I'd get fucking hardwood floors put on me.
So, and then Catherine's like, we have the same doctor, So, hey, Austin, how do you like her new body? And she's like, he hasn't seen it. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. And then it becomes the discussion of, has Austin seen Madison's body?
Yes, he goes, of course I've seen it, Madison. And Craig's like, yeah, I've seen it, along with the three other guys you've been with this month.
I thought you said 300 other guys.
Oh, maybe. I wrote three.
Either way.
Jesus, asshole. And Shep's like, especially when you're sleeping with a girl who just slept with your friend before she... Like, why are you slut-shaming only one person? You guys are jerks. Stop slut-shaming.
Especially when we've watched, like, 7 years of you guys going to bars and picking up girls every single night.
Yeah.
Especially when that's what Shep's MO was. Especially when Shep literally had a TV show called Relationship, where he actively had, like, a group of, you know, 8 women that he was slowly unimpressing, you know? And so, like, why, like, but all of a sudden,
that show, I mean, it was a terrible show, but... It was so funny watching all the women leave. It was like the one dating show where you never had to eliminate anybody because they were all leaving. They were like, you're gross. Okay, we're out of here.
I wonder if Peyton is still in Charleston. She tried to have that crossover moment, but then Naomi kind of like screamed at her while she was dressed like an Avatar person. So that was her downfall, dressing like Avatar or like a unicorn, whatever it was. She was
wasn't it like a unicorn Avatar or something?
It was like a terrible Cats production. I don't know, but that was Peyton's like last moment, I think. But the point is this, that Craig is very comfortable just shaming Madison for sleeping with all these people after she has broken up with Austin. And
the finale episodes where Madison was mad because Austin just banged some girl last week, you know? And it's like, oh my mm-hmm. God, like you guys are, you
yeah,
guys
totally
are all
overlooked.
Fucking all the time, okay? And if I looked like you and had any kind of money in my pocket, I'd be fucking all the time too. Like, who cares? It's fucking, yeah. We all do it.
Yeah. Well, Madison, is Madison petty and vindictive? Absolutely, you know? But I'm just saying, I think there's a double standard with how they treat her in terms of
totally, 100%. We all fuck. Oh my God. Who cares?
It's like everyone poops and everyone fucks.
I don't know. So, not everyone poops. I mean, everybody does poop. But if you're poop shaming somebody, that's okay because poop is shameful. It's the most shameful thing we've done ever in humanity. And that is the original sin. And that's why we're in trouble with God in the first place, because we pooped. Okay. God kicked us out of the Garden of Eden.
So animals are sinning also?
Well, animals aren't going to heaven.
Not even your dog?
Oh, God. You know what? There's holes poked in this theory. Okay, okay, animals
I think
can
you
poop because they're
pooping.
Animals, but we should be better because we're, you know, we can think. And we should be able to think like, hey, if I get colonics, then I won't poop. And so it's our responsibility to get colonics because poop is gross. And I'm never getting a colonic, but poop is still gross. I don't want to argue about this anymore. Move on, because now I'm angry about pooping.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So Madison's her mommy makeover, and Craig is like, why would you say he hasn't seen your body when you slept together right after the surgery? I mean, you said, I don't want to see my fucking belly. Just put it in. I know you guys slept together. I saw the text. And everyone's like, Craig.
Craig. No, but much, also, Craig. That's how lame Austin is. That it's like, you know what? I just got surgery. I should totally not be fucking anyone. Who cares what Austin thinks? Just call Austin.
Just get the, yeah. So, he's like, I'm speaking the truth, Andy. I'm speaking the truth.
And Pringle's like, you are slut-shaming a lot today, buddy. I mean, be careful when you wake up to pee because you might be spelling something on your wall that might not be pleasant. It's not looking good. And Craig's like, I'm not slut-shaming. She's a liar.
It's bad when you've got Pringle noticing the slut-shaming. And he's like, no, you know, Madison dated another guy and who's balled up in a pillow because she'd been dating him for a month. I was like, I don't even know what any of that means. What are you talking about, a guy balled up in a pillow? Like, I think he's just confusing concepts right now. His business, dating, you know, moments of time.
Was it Craig? Because who the fuck else would be like curling up with a pillow? I think he's saying that she's such a cheater that she was dating a guy and the guy didn't know that she was still like dating around and sleeping with other people. And so he was crushed and he was like in the fetal position. And he's crushed. Like, yeah, she dates multiple people at the same time. She's horrible.
And he's like, what do you care? What do you care? They're broken up. And he's like, and she is fucking with me as hard as she can. And even Danny is like, you're letting her.
You're letting her, Austin. You're letting her do it to you. And Andy, who says, I want to fuck? Oh, Andy's like,
Andy.
Hey, no, I want to fuck with you. I mean, you're so easy to fuck with. It's hilarious.
It's just so fun. Oh, he's a glutton for punishment. And so Catherine weighs in with some advice for Austin, saying, it's coming from a place of hurt. I've had people make fun of me when I was in a bad relationship, and when I was going back, it's hard. It's hard.
okay, this is not about you, and I will still shame you for going back to Thomas. Fucking crazy person. Stop. What are you doing?
Yeah.
That's not even slut shaming. That's Thomas shaming. Like, that is some straight Thomas up Ravenel shaming, okay? So Austin's like, well, thanks, Catherine. And Craig's like, yeah, well, you know what? He's the one who told her about Natalie, and then she's the one who told her about Danny. He's the one who told her about the Danny stuff last year. So now he's like yelling that Austin is the one betraying them by keeping going back to Madison and telling all this dirt on them. Yeah. And Madison goes, oh, yeah? Well, you tell me things about Natalie, too. You don't hear me blurting that out. Do you want to hear it? It's like, oh, what did Shep give Natalie?
Yeah, I'm a.
Every true. Year we need to top that.
This is where Madison always goes wrong, but she does get real messy real quickly. Oh, she weaponizes everything. Fix her hair. Oh, my hair just got attacked. It got attacked by her weaponizing my hair.
She just weaponized my cowlicks. I can't even look at you. And Andy's like, well, not since Craig and Naomi have I seen such a toxic relationship. And Craig's like, yeah, but when we broke up, we let each other live our lives. Like, I mean, Madison just commented on a post the other day under his comment. And Madison's like, next question. Next question.
And then we broached the Kristen Cavallari stuff because she commented on this Kristen Cavallari post or whatever it was. And ultimately, Craig tells us, Kristen slid into my DMs like 2 months ago. And I was like, I have a girlfriend. And then she came into town. And then Austin and I became best friends with her. And then I took a butter knife and I made a hole in her wall. And now I can't use both of my pinkies. It's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently the comment was something like Kristen put up a picture and Austin said something. And then under it, Madison put, oh, hey, I'll be with Jay this week. Like to try and compete with Austin. And he's like, oh my God, she like can't let anybody be happy. And Chef's like, well, they are going to see Kristen in a couple of days. And Andy's like, and you're going to see Jay?
Well, he came to Charleston and he reached out to me. And they're like, oh, bullshit. So then she pulls out her DMs again. And Shep is like, oh, this is like Us Magazine Live. So she brings her phone back to Andy for the second time in this reunion to show the DMs. And basically, Jay Cutler is like, hey, I'm going to Charleston soon. What are the top three restaurants you can recommend? And then she's like, oh, are you asking this because you sent the same, because your ex sent the same DM to my ex? And he's like, oh, I don't keep up with her, which is bullshit.
Yeah. Bullshit. And Levin's like, well, did you recommend my restaurant? And Austin's like, oh, well, you know what? I guess we'll have to test that out. You know, Andy says, oh, so Madison said, I guess we'll have to check that out. And then you were getting flirty because there's a winky emoji. And then she says, want to come on the boat, which is pretty. And now she's taking the phone from me. All right.
Wait a second. I think you just got a message from A-Rod, something about, please stop talking about me. Okay. Yeah, you took the phone back. Great.
Yeah, great. I love whenever Madison goes with proof, it's never what she says it is. Like, it is proof that he was DMing her, but then she's totally flirting with him. Like, last week, what was the DM last week where she's like,
and here I am reading a DM. I said, I'm sorry 27 times.
And Andy's like, well, it did say I'm sorry once with a fuck you emoji and a thumbs down emoji. But all right.
He's like, I mean, listen, guys. I mean, she's a single person. A hot guy reached out to her. And then Jay Cutler reached out to her, too. There's nothing wrong with that, okay?
And Craig's like, I'm not upset. It's just she's a nasty person, and I hate that I'm in her presence.
You are a terrible person and a trash can.
Yeah. Catherine's like, oh my God, those words mean so much. I mean, you shouldn't say that. It's really mean. And Andy's like, are you triggered? And she's like, yeah, I'm triggered because last year I put trash in a can using no trash bag and people were really mean to me online about it. So yes, it triggers me, Andy.
Hey, I just want to say you can't call her a trash can. What I like to do is I like to call women aggressive. That's what you should really be doing, Craig. Okay, continue on.
So then we get a clip of Shep calling Catherine trash, lake trash, or whatever. Did he call her lake trash?
White trash.
White trash. I wrote lake trash. Sorry, that's my...
More specific.
I live in a lake town right now, okay? So that was coming from my own memory. But Catherine's like, yeah, it's a trigger. So then we got tweets about Madison's son. I mean, he's more put together than any of the men on this show. Did he get the whole sky-high hair from you, or is that a Southern thing?
And, yeah, they're talking about how he's, like, more put together, and they just are, you know, everyone's loving on Hudson. And
Madison's
then,
like, well, I'm trying. You know what? Here's the thing with my ex. Like, it didn't work out because we were together for 4 years. But I was trying to build an empire. And Austin just starts laughing like, oh, empire. Yeah, right. Did your parents pay for that? Then it doesn't count, idiot.
And then Madison says that Hudson doesn't like Austin. And Austin would only play house when filming would start. And he goes, that is such a fucking lie. It's unbelievable. Okay, Madison, I opened up a whole new world, okay, for you. A whole new world with dazzling sights for you to see, okay? That's what I did for you. No one to tell us no or where to go, Madison. Now I'm in this
people
whole new
Bryson
world with you.
Sang you onto this show, Madison, okay? Oh, wait, was that Beauty God. And the Beast?
No, People Bryson, he did back to back. He went.
Oh, it was, right? Celine I thought so.
To Regina? Yeah, yeah. He was really, like, he was in that Disney. He's so a real good. Disney dad. He
yeah.
Disney dad.
You're the best
a whole
kind
new
of
world,
Disney dad,
Madison.
Oh, gosh.
God, no one to tell us no, okay? Which is, by the way, his way of saying, I brought you on to the TV show.
Yeah, he's saying, I got you on TV, and all you did was go to work, and you would go home and go to bed, and now you want to sit here and dog me? This is unbelievable, Madison.
It's outrageous, Madison. You want to dog me? You want to Lady and the Tramp me when I'm Aladdin-ing you? It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Real funny coming from you, Austin, who got on the show from being friends with the dudes and then tried to bang a girl on the show just so you would have a storyline on the show and treated her like shit the whole time. And her name was Chelsea, sir. So why don't you get the fuck over yourself, you hypocrite?
Ah, this is unbelievable. Unbelievable sights. Indescribable feelings. Soaring and tumbling, freewheeling Madison, okay? Through an endless diamond sky. Madison's insane right now. I gave you a carpet that flew, okay? I gave you a carpet, okay? 100,000 things to see. Hold your breath, it gets better, Madison, okay? I'm like a shooting star. I've come so far, Madison. I can't go back to where I used to be, Madison. I can't. Can't go back to where I used to be. It's a whole new world.
With you. So Madison's like, you didn't do anything for me. Okay, look, this relationship was fun. And when it stopped being fun, it was over. And Craig's like, oh, yeah, then why didn't you let him go? Let him go. Was that Disney dad not important enough to you, Madison? And she's like, I did when I took your advice, you crackhead. Which is hilarious. I love that everyone's just calling it out now, you know? Leva with her. Oh, why don't you go into the bathroom and do something to make yourself feel better?
And I love that when Madison called Greg a crackhead, and he just goes, ha, 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 ha. He just lets out a big chuckle. Like, it's funny because it's true.
I love the complete lack of respect Andy has for this cast. It's hilarious.
This is my favorite version of Andy Cohen when he's like, he just is like, you guys are all just stupid, aren't you? That's my favorite version of Andy.
So she's like, yeah, they're saying, you won't let her go. And Craig's like, yeah, you met on the bridge. And then you went after and said, Austin, I will always hold your hand. And she's like, well, it's because he was having a mental breakdown on me at the time. And Shep goes, well, that's manipulative, unfortunately.
You think he's not manipulative? He's singing goddamn Aladdin lyrics to me right now. And honestly, it's working. It's working.
And Austin's like, it's called gaslighting. Okay, Shep, that's what it's called. Which... okay, yeah. Okay, Austin.
She gaslights me all the time. I'm like, no. No. This is not gaslighting. In fact, actually, what you were doing is literally gaslighting this entire reunion.
She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Who turned off the lights?
Lights aren't turned off.
Yes, they are. No, they're not. I can see. No, you can't. No one can see. Oh, I'm going crazy, Andy.
It's like, you're too easy, Austin, okay?
It's like, Andy, just because I told him the lights were on but no one was home, that does not count as gaslighting.
So let's see here. So Madison's like, well, I don't have three of my best friends here backing me up, so just go ahead and attack me all day. And Craig's like, let him go. She goes, he's gone. Shut your mouth.
So then, yeah, and then Austin's like, when she said, like, yeah, shut your mouth, Austin goes, well, it wasn't through until I stopped texting you. That's when it was done. And she goes, oh, because I told you to shut the fuck up. And he goes, bull mother fucking shit, Madison. Bull motherfucking shit.
Oh, so then Shep's like, well, this is the time to hear both sides. I would honestly love to hear your side, Madison. She goes, oh, you know what? I've been very nice to you, and I would honestly hate to see that end.
Shep. Is that a threat? I'm scared. Nice Shep is scared.
She is. She's threatening you, Shep. She's threatening you. Don't try and threaten him, Madison. And Austin's like, Shep, she tried to threaten you to your face. And Shep's all bloaty face.
She's not the real Ariel.
Shep is just like all bloaty face and bleary eyed. He's like, what? And then we go to commercial. And when
it's like the clock from F.A.O. Schwartz.
Then we get Madison is like, can I have a glass of water, please? And Pringle's like, everyone's attacking you and you're doing great. All right. You're doing great up there, kid. I would smack you on the butt right now, but you're not standing. Atta girl. I'll just leave it at that. Atta girl.
We can talk about this more in my hotel room. Just saying. So Austin's like, Shep, don't listen to her. Don't listen to her. I can do whatever I want, Austin. I could do whatever I want.
I have done nothing but nice things. I've said nothing but nice things about him. Nothing but nice.
Yeah, well, don't be nice. Be real.
Yeah, right. So Madison's like, I need whatever Catherine's smoking on. Because Catherine's over there vaping. And we're back. Austin, tell us about your sad mommy and daddy owned beer. Go ahead, Austin. Do it. It's going to be so funny. Preferably with tears. Cry, Austin. Cry.
Well, I have to say that when I moved into cans, that's when everything changed for me. I mean, I used to be more of a buck guy, but man, grabbing a girl by the cans, that is just, it changes everything. Everything.
Finally, I can go up to strangers in bars and say, hey, you have nice cans. And so do I. You can get them at Harris Teeter.
Every single Harris Teeter in Publix in Charleston gone in 2 weeks. They each sold all 12 beers I sent them. All gone in 2 weeks. It was supposed to take 8. And now, Leva's husband wants to partner with me, the beer baron of Charleston. Insane right now.
And Leva's like, you didn't have a meeting with my husband. I told my husband to have a meeting with you. And then you pissed me off earlier. So now I'm trying to decide if that's even going to happen. Okay? So if you try being a nice human being. And he's like, What happened? And Leva's like, well, Shep told me that his dad felt a certain way about something I said on Watch What Happens Live. And then we see the clip and Andy's playing a game called, like, alarming or nice new boobs. And she said that Shep has a penchant for dating younger women, and that would be alarming and not really right. Nice boobs or whatever.
She had to choose between, they're like, Shep has a penchant for dating younger women. Is that alarming or is it a cause for new boobs? And she said, I think that's alarming. That's all she literally said. And so when it comes back, she's like, well, I thought that, like, if anyone could take it, it would be you, Shep. And then Austin jumps in and says, actually, Leva, you're the biggest shit talker I know. And I was like, what? That's insane. Insane right now. You've never had a friend like me. Da 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 da.
And Seth's like, you did say it. You did though. And Levitt's like, yeah, he did say it. And then we see the clip in the dressing room of that, which my favorite line from the whole thing again. Still, go to the bathroom and do something to make you feel better, Austin.
Stop, Leva. Stop, Leva. Stop. So, you know, Leva's basically like, well, you know, I wish that you could control your emotions and not like jump off like a crazy person. He's like, oh, and now you're sitting here saying, I don't know if I want to get into business with you. No, Leva, emotions take over you. Emotions take over you. I'm like, okay, Mr. Gaslighter.
Yeah, no kidding.
You're the one acting crazy and trying to get into her restaurant. She doesn't owe you any sort of beer contract.
Yeah, getting you into her restaurant is a huge favor, and then you're still going to act like an asshole to her on TV. That's not how that works. And so she's like, yeah, if I go into business with someone, I expect them to be like, you know what? You were talking to Shep, so I'll stay out of it, you know? Or you should have taken me aside. And he's like, no. You know what? Yeah.
No.
Sing right now. It's women. They just keep victimizing me. And she's like, can I finish or do I always have to be interrupted by you? And he's like, you know what? Come on, Leva. Don't be mad about earlier. It's ridiculous. I'm saying so it quietly now. It's ridiculous.
Leva, don't be a hysterical woman who famously can't control her emotions like all women. Leva, you shouldn't even be in business. You should just be raising a child, Leva. Don't be ridiculous now, yeah, Leva.
Totally. And she's like, how about you just say sorry? And he's like, sorry. It's just thank you. Jesus.
I appreciate it.
The end, right? So then Andy's like, so, now the real question. Madison, what do you think of Austin's mother-owned beer business? And she's like, no comment. No comment.
And then Craig is like, he has his beers in grocery stores. You rent your chair in a salon. And it's like, well, first of all, Craig,
what an absolute like, way to like insult head.
Every single, you know, hairstylist in America. That's how you cut hair. That's how you do it. You rent a chair in a salon.
And first of all, no, she does not rent a chair. She owns a salon and rents out chairs. Does she not? Or even if she does rent out a chair, who the fuck cares?
It doesn't even matter. What do you own? What do you own? And then Austin, this is my favorite line of the reunion. He leans forward and he's got his hands. He's like doing, he's going like, I have my beer everywhere, Madison.
Madison.
He went from having like he sold out like a pilot supply to Harris Teeter and Publix, and now it's like I have my beer everywhere.
God. And Madison's like, I'm so sick of you guys ganging up on me. I am sick of it. And Austin's like, no, Madison. And Andy's like, Craig, you know what? Just stop yelling. You're not even in this. Just sit back. And he's like, sorry, Andy.
Well, because sorry.
Yeah.
So Austin, a lot of our viewers want to know, like, what is your job? Like, what do you do for a living? Like, what's going on? Like, you
why
just
can't you
a
close
company?
Your mouth? Why do you smell like dirty socks even from the TV screen? And he's and Danny goes, I would like to say that working as a distributor myself, I can say it's not easy getting your product into some place, okay? And Austin's like, yeah. And for anyone to belittle me and say I don't do anything is outrageous.
Outrageous right now. Outrageous. I have beer everywhere. Everywhere.
And Shep's like, let me say, you know, I'll say this for Austin. He gets up every morning at like 8, sometimes 9. You know, he gets up and then he'll go to the gym. You know? Yeah. And he wasn't always like that. I'm like, wow.
He's amazing.
Wow. He wakes up at 8 a.m. Austin gets up at 8 and goes to the gym.
Gosh,
wow.
Yeah, gosh. Yeah, 8 a.m. Hawaiian time, but it's still 8 a.m. somewhere, you know?
Wow.
So Madison was encouraging Austin earlier in the season. Then she liked that he was like hard at work doing the beer. And so Andy's like, so basically like what changed? He goes, you could do more. Which was her way of being like, I was caught.
Yeah. And also like, I liked you then. I liked you in that moment and now I don't. Okay. And yeah. You suck. So Craig's like, when she says Craig. You could do more, Craig's like, yeah, well, if you could get away with you, you ruin his life.
Oh, women. Ruining potential businessmen. You know, men would be more successful if there weren't women involved, right? Am I right, right, Ronnie?
I think
we could all agree. Good Lord. If you work in business, just retire and, you know, raise some babies. And if you don't have a baby, raise someone else's babies. That's really your role.
Fucking idiots. So Madison's like, oh, he wrote me a Mother's Day card. Do you know what it said? And Austin's like, I said I respect your hustle. So what? She goes, no, you said teach me your hustle. So why not sit here and learn instead of this big dick energy, which you don't have? I'm so sick of it. And I was like, oh, nice. I like that they're degrading you so you get a tiny penis comment in there. Yeah, well done. I'm just saying,
all he wanted to do was learn how to dance. Literally do the hustle. So also, who writes that in a, I guess, actually, no, that makes sense in a Mother's Day. He probably was like, I admire your hustle. I want you to teach me your hustle because soon I'm going to have beer everywhere, Madison. Happy Mother's Day.
I think he's trying to say, like, you're so great and I know you want better for me, so I'm going to learn from the best or whatever. And Andy's like, all right, okay, all right, let's switch to something lighter. Robert from Boston says, Madison, do you pick wussies that you can push around and abuse on purpose? And she's like, 100%. I'm a masculine type, and I date these that are more feminine, okay? Put a wig on and call them Tootsie, and let's call it a day on that one, all right, Andy?
It feels like there's probably some, if you really dig into what she just said, there's probably some problematic stuff in there, but I just don't have the energy. So Pringle said, well, that's why we didn't work out. You know what I'm saying? A man over here with tremendous guilt, tremendous post-pee guilt. But I'm a
Disney
man.
Dad. All right, well, listen, I have to say this. You two are a horrible couple. I mean, you are an infinity circle of toxicity. Okay?
And Austin's like, I don't understand what this has to do with a car, but fine. Let me tell you something. I have something serious to say, okay? I haven't
I just got it. I was like, car.
Infinity circle.
You're an infinity gasket of toxicity.
What does this have to do with a pool that has no edge? So Austin's like, I have to say something. I hadn't watched the episodes because I'm so busy getting my beer everywhere that I didn't have time to watch it. And Shep looked me in the eye. He looked me in the eyes, Madison. And he said, you have to watch. And you know what? I watched him last night and my heart broke over and over and over again.
He's like, Andy broke my heart, Andy. He's like trying to cry. And Andy's like, well, what did you see? And he's like, broke my heart, Andy. She doesn't care about me. And she never fucking Andy.
And the footage that they show is all footage from after they've broken up, and she is like at the batting cage with Pringle being like, he's just not where I want him to be. Or when he crashed the party that she was throwing and she was just like, you know, annoyed. Like, it wasn't like she was talking a huge amount of shit behind Austin's back while they were dating. And Madison's no angel. Madison is a disaster too. But like, he being so like dramatic about that, he goes, how she treats me and talks about me is so fucking bad. So fucking bad. I am fucking done. I am done with this human. I can't even look at you. You are a monster.
You're a monster. Your heart does not exist in Madison. You're a monster.
Monster. You're a monster. I saw her once pour out beer from a Tropop can. A monster!
You're a monster, Madison. Give me a break. You just went and had sex with her, like, what, a month ago or something, after you were saying, I'm done. She's so mean to me. I'm not buying it from you. Shut up, Austin.
A monster because she dared say anything negative about Austin.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you're just sitting there while all your friends and you are slut-shaming her at the same time on national TV. Monster. So Craig's like, Craig goes, oh, it's break again. So Craig's like, hey, Andy, I got a question. Who's the best dressed cast member? And Levin's like, oh, God, he wants a compliment. And Andy goes, well, he does look good. And he won't even look at Craig. He's just looking straight ahead. He's like, he does look good, but not the best.
Patricia wrote that line for me since she's not here. So now, Catherine and Thomas. Okay, so is everyone ready to talk about racism? Because it's coming up. Okay, so what's going on with you, Catherine? How long did Thomas live in that house with you? So they lived with 3 months, and he goes, so were you roommates with benefits? And she goes, ew, no. But then Craig goes, did you hook up? Well, I mean, once in January. That's roommates with benefits.
Yeah, I don't know if you can call that a benefit, but, you know, there it is. Well, at least not for her.
It's like, roommate with taxes.
Yeah. So Andy's like, well, you did say you might get back together in the show. I mean, what is it about him that keeps pulling you back? Is it the moose knuckle? Tell us the truth. And she's like, well, sometimes you toy with the idea because, like, we're a family unit. And Pringle's like, yeah, and, you know, when you get back there and then there's the both of you, you know, you see the reason you got married to him. And the shut up. You're like the Thomas in this example, okay? Like, let's not pretend that you have such a huge choice about this. And Catherine's like, that door is closed, Andy. It is closed now.
So, Catherine knew that she hasn't met the baby or anything. She knew that T-Rav was dating someone at the end of 2020 or something like that. Maybe 2019, I should say. And and that the woman that T-Rav was dating, her ex hung a giant banner in the Battery that said, like, do not let this man go into your house. And it was a picture of Thomas Ravenel.
But then it turns out that they found out after that it was the ex, and that's why he was so mad, and they're cracking up at all the drama.
And then Patricia also unfurled a banner that said, do not let this man into your house, but it was a picture of Cooper instead.
They talk about Caleb, the current boyfriend, and Catherine's like, Kenzie loves him. She's got a crush. And he goes, well, how is Caleb different? And she's like, well, he's supportive. He's more of a teammate. You know, we work as a team. And Craig's like, yeah, we've known him for like 10 years. He just keeps like flicking his nail like he's trying to get a booger off. And he's like, so did, so viewers ask, you know, they're questioning the timing of you dating a black man, Catherine, you know, was he a plant? Or, you know, one lady said she tweeted a monkey emoji to a sister and is now dating a brother. Was this a course correction, Catherine?
And so she's like, no. And he's like, it's like, well, did he think that the emoji, the monkey emoji, was racist? And she's like, no, he didn't think it was racist. But yes, he did explain to me how others might have taken it. And Andy's like, okay, I have a question. Why were you engaging with this woman in the first place? Which I think is really a great question to ask. Why?
Yes. And so she tries. Here she goes. She's like, well, the best way to say it is that this woman was on Instagram saying, like, don't go to this girl's business. And then I was like, well, that's mean to that girl, because to me that was like bullying. And I really, you know, like, I don't like bullying, Andy, you know? So, like, it's anti-bullying.
And
I was like,
She's like, let's not water down this. Let's not water this down.
There's something here.
Yeah. She's like, this woman decided to hold a Trump rally boat parade in the middle of the pandemic. And one woman said, I don't want to engage in businesses that are really this tone deaf. And then 8 women came after this woman, you know, and Catherine's like, well, great. Now it looks like I'm part of a bully group. I'm like, you were.
Yeah.
Not only does it look like it, it actually was.
So she says all these women, these 8 women come at her and bullied her. And they said, you'll never do anything in this town again. Your business will never stay open in this town. And Catherine's like, well, I didn't know any of that. Like, I mean, what? I had no idea. And she goes, that's not fair, because I didn't even know about that. And Danny's like, well, you're the easiest target, so... It's like Danny right back doing her job.
And so, yeah, so she's like, now it looks like it's part of a bully group or whatever. And then talking about how, because Leva's saying how these women basically going after these 8 white women going after one black woman and saying, you'll never work here again, was like, it was an example of white women acting from a place of white supremacy. And then Shep is like, well, I think that, like, the jump from a Trump rally to white supremacist is a big leap. I was like, okay. Even Andy does that thing where he goes, shakes his head at the camera, like, am I really here with these idiots right now? Okay.
Yeah. And Catherine's like, yeah, but it wasn't because of the white supremacist thing. It was because they were saying, don't go to this woman's business. And Craig is like, yeah, and you didn't like her being called what she was being called. And Catherine says, well, why are we even talking about Trump? Like, this, why is this even about politics? You guys are making this about politics. It was over a Trump rally. That was the fight.
Okay, so here's a lesson to everyone, whether you're on a reality show or not. If you're just going to, like, butt your neck into – if you're going to butt into a situation to, quote-unquote, defend your friend, you should know what you're butting into. So, like, if you butt into, like, a political situation, don't be surprised if people make it about politics, because that's what happened.
Yeah. And so Andy's like, well, you know, the Trump context is important because it might explain why you threw him the term minority platform in it, which is another thing you said.
I was like, well, it doesn't explain the minority platform at all, but glad you brought that up. Catherine's like, oh, great. So glad you asked that question. So I really want to talk about this. I cannot wait to talk about this. So when I sent those messages, it was very late at night, and I was drinking, and, like, I don't even know why I use the minority, because it seems like I was discouraging minorities, but that's not what happened, Andy.
The excuse was worse than I ever thought it would be. I thought you could say something like, I meant, like, not, like, minority, like, you're a racial minority, more like you are like in the vocal minority of people who are angry about this, right?
But at least come up with a good, like, I don't like coal. I think it hurts the environment. I'm not into minorities. I thought I was, like, anti-mining or something, like, something.
I don't like that you keep recommending Minority Report on your Instagram. I do not like this minority platform. And I just had forgotten to say report.
Right. You know, I thought it meant underage, you know, like, mm-hmm. you know, you shouldn't be, you know, don't use your underage minor status or something. It's just something.
I thought it was like you don't like you don't like local elections. They have small platforms on local elections. It's a minority platform compared to a
I mean, just something like anything, something, but that just, like, I didn't know what I was saying because it was late. So the word minority just came out of nowhere.
And she's just so like, Craig, I don't know what it was.
Yeah. And Craig's like, Catherine, this doesn't end until you address the minority thing, because, like, it wasn't political. You said that. She goes, yeah, it wasn't political. I was literally referencing
Manure. I don't like manure, and that's my platform. That's what I was trying to say.
I don't like menorahs, Andy, okay? So down with Jewish people. He's like, well, you're making it worse. You're making it. Reel it in, Catherine.
In a certain way, I did appreciate that she just had no excuse. She just couldn't even come up with anything. She's like, I don't know.
Yeah, but say you don't have an excuse. You know, just say you don't have an excuse. Because
she was just like, Craig was like, there's no way that you could have meant that. Like the only way you could mean it is if you were referencing that she was black. And so she's like, no. Then she gets mad. She's like,
she starts doing her hopping in her seat thing. She's like, no.
Her hayride starts up. She's like, oh, we're going on our hayride. She's like, don't you ever say that about me again. Y'all have slandered and used that situation. Well, it was a situation that you created, and these are the consequences.
Yeah, and he's like, Catherine. She's like, no, you listen. I get to speak now. And Levin's like, he's trying to help you, Catherine. And he's like, yeah, address the minority thing. She goes, I don't know how to address it, y'all. I don't know how to. And he goes, yeah, I was trying to help you. And Levin's like, I was trying to help you, too. And Catherine's like, I can't talk. You guys don't let me talk.
Levin's like, I've been trying to help you. And she goes, by talking behind my back and making fun of me to my best friend, you were trying to isolate me. And Levin's like, why would I do that? You were trying to come up on my downfall, and you have had fun with this. And Levin's like, me? I've had fun? She's like, you used my mistake to come up on the show. This is my life. And Levin's like, this is my life too. Do you know how many death threats I'm getting every single day from people?
Yeah, she's like, I'm on the internet getting threats from people because it's like, I'm forgiving you. I'm just saying like, oh, it's okay, you know, and I'm not canceling you. You know, do you even understand that part of it? You're so fucking disrespectful. And Catherine's like, can you just not understand? This is really hard on me. Oh, And Andy goes, all right, let's just one step at a time here. And Leva's like, yeah, you know, okay, look, I don't think she meant it politically. I think she was defending her friend. And I've said that a million times. But what I did say was what you said was tone deaf and riddled with internalized bias. And I told your friends, go to your friend and tell her it was wrong. Like, stand up for what's right. And I went to Shep and said, you should do it because you're good at calling people out. And he wasn't into it. And then we see the clip of that. And Pringle's like, yeah, but the way that you go about it sometimes, I mean, you tell people, shut the fuck up. She's like, well, I said that because if you don't like the way I go about it more than you don't like why it matters, then you can shut the fuck up.
Yeah, because he's like, your catchphrase would have been shut the fuck up. She's like, well, if you're not speaking about what matters, but instead just call me a bully, then you need to shut the fuck up, which was exactly, I was so glad that she said that because it's like, that's not what this is about. This is not about whether she's aggressive or not, you know? So then Shep is like, well, I couldn't say anything. It's too dangerous. I've got white privilege. How could I give her any advice? A bomb was about to go off. It's too dangerous. You have to get out of the building.
And this is cancel culture. And she's like, I'm not cancel culture. And he goes, I know, but still. And she's like, I got vilified by every person here, you know? And because I said something and you guys didn't. You just let me drown, you know? And Shep's like, no, we didn't. But you're a person of color, married to a person of color, and you're the perfect person to speak on it. Hello.
Don't you know that it's up to the people of color to be the teacher? Don't you know that?
White people cannot stand against racist shit. Don't you know that's totally inappropriate?
Listen, what the hell? Shep survived. Shep survived making fun of a homeless lady when and the cans, which change everything, by the way. Cans change everything. So, like, don't worry about cancel culture. You're doing fine. If cancel culture was really the threat that you thought it was going to be, you would have been gone by now. But you're not. You're fine. And also, nothing that you would have said, I don't think, would have caused him to be canceled. He would have been standing up for, like, a really good thing.
Yeah. And Leva's like, yeah, but, you know, we can say what we want as people of color, but you guys, your voice, hearing it out of your mouths would have actually changed something, you know? Yes. And Catherine is like, well, this is just why I really want to say this whole experience has really affected me, you know? And Leva's like, and then, and she's like, can I just finish, please? And so okay. Catherine basically says, like, look, I'm really disappointed and I did it to myself and I get that, but now all these people think I'm racist and I'm not racist. And Leva says, well, it's not that you got mad at somebody and said something. You know, that doesn't mean that you're in a white hood and you hate black people. It just means you have internal bias and you made a mistake and you were tone deaf. And yes. She's like, well, I'm glad you were saying that now because it's been months that you guys have, you know, ridden this wave of me being torn apart. Because you would never apologize. You would never just, you're still not just copping to it. Just cop to it and apologize and be done with it. It could have been done if you would have just had the conversation, you know.
And you know how much, you know, Leva would have been, I think, really torn apart if like she just went on to social media and was like, guys, she really means well. She just was being tone deaf. I think people wouldn't I don't think any of us would have we've been like, what the fuck? You're just gonna let her off the hook. But I think in the context of the show and we like have like some we're see like you said, like there wasn't really apology, we're getting some growth, et cetera, et cetera. This is why it's not appropriate, but like that's why she said it now. Because Catherine had to go through being torn apart. That's unfortunately how she had to learn.
Yeah. So Danny's like, well, the problem is it snowballed. And Catherine's like, and I'm sorry to you, Danny, because, you know, I'm sorry that we didn't speak. And she's like, I wasn't mad at you that we didn't speak. I was mad because you told Leva you were alone, like you couldn't call anyone, and that triggered me.
Yeah. So Andy's like, well, so where do you guys stand? Danny, this is your big moment on the reunion. Why don't you tell us where you guys stand? I'd like to have Catherine answer that. Okay. Well, I'm glad you've been here, Danny. So Catherine's like, I just hung out with her and it felt like old times. And it was, it was good. And Danny's like, I don't hold grudges. I don't hold grudges. Don't worry about me. I just complained about something all season long, but I don't care. I don't care. Have grudges.
And Shep's like, life is sure full of twists and turns, isn't it? Okay.
So then Andy, sorry.
No, no, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Andy then talks about how Leva went from Iran to Canada to ultimately Charleston. And was she aware going into the U.S., like, all our, you know, racist history, et cetera, et cetera. And she just talks about how, you know, it's prevalent around the whole world and that it's just, it was so weird to go to Charleston where it's just, you see Confederate flags and statues. It's just like very in your face.
Yeah. And Craig's like, well, Caleb's last name has two L's because their family lineage was owned by the Ravenals, which is like, I mean, of course, I'm sure that we all suspected that, but it's just like, oh, my God, you hear shit like that being an American, you know? Shep's like, I know about my family's history, you know, and it's terrible and it's regrettable. But, you know, speaking to Leva and the whole situation, it's like what we can do is go out and vote and protest. And we have to change the system and change the people in power to make real change. And Pringle's like, oh, and also we got to raise our children right from across the country, preferably on an iPad. So,
hey, Pringle, did you ever find out if your family were slave owners? I have so much guilt about peeing in the middle of the night, I have to say.
How about talking about spelling guilt with my pee?
I wish Andy had asked Pringle if he'd found out. So, Leva's basically, you know, she says, if you're sitting in a space where you are miles ahead of a people that have been oppressed, it's your job to fight for those people. And Shep is not responsible for the sins of his ancestry, but he's responsible for being cognizant of the past, just like Pringle. You want to take this one, Pringle?
Nope.
Chips in a can. Chips in a can is what I have to say, Andy. So then Catherine's like, yeah, you know, as far as the statue, I'm really glad it was taken down because that man is a symbol of racism. And, you know, watching Leva watch that being taken down, I didn't realize that people even felt that way, like that they would walk past it and feel like, damn, you know, here's this guy looking down on me. And I was naive about stuff. And Leva's like, and now you know better. And Catherine's mm-hmm. like, I just want to make it right.
And then Andy asked the question that's on all of our minds. What was going through Austin's mind? Well,
God.
Well, you know, considering that my beer was everywhere, I was very concerned when there were riots. And I texted Lev and I said, I hope your business didn't get super damaged. And Lev's response was, a window can be replaced, but a life can't. And I realized how much I don't realize. And wow, I realized I live in such a bubble of privilege. And that's where I'm going to stay, Andy. Thank you very much. No further questions.
Yeah, and Lev is crying now. And she's like, thank you. Because that's all I was trying to get across, you know, that there's a bubble of privilege and yep. You don't have to worry about your son going out in a hoodie and getting shot, you know. And she's like, listen, I'm not black either. You know, I'm not pretending I am. I'm on the spectrum. Everyone's on the spectrum. And thank you for saying that because that's really all I needed to hear.
Right.
And I was like, oh, my God, I cannot believe there's actual some kind of closure.
It's, I know. I think
on this stupid Leva, show.
Leva laid it out so well. You know, which is that, like, you know,
I think
like
she did too.
We all, you know, white privilege is a thing. And like, if someone says you have white privilege, they're not saying you are a racist and you're terrible. It just means like, so if I'm saying I'm going through something and you're like, I don't see it, this is saying like, that's because you have white privilege and you haven't had to see it. But like, please right. understand what I'm going through, you know?
Right.
That's all. Well, yeah, I don't want to say that's all, but like, I think that's like a big takeaway from it.
Yeah, I think that was well done, that part. So then Catherine backstage comes up to Leva again, and she's like, you know, I just, like, I'm not good with words, and words, they're hard, but, you know, I know that I'm not being a victim right now, I'm just saying. And she's
platypus,
like,
platypus, fish tank, hedgehog, oh, I'm so bad with words. She's
like, you know, you're being genuine, you know, and I'm sorry, I was catty because I wanted you to take it more seriously, and I got frustrated, but I'm not your enemy. And she's like, thank you. So then we go back, and Andy's like, well, one thing we learned is we can never stop doing the work. So, guys, how has this season changed you? Speaking of not doing any work, let's talk to all the men on this show without jobs. Okay? Who wants to take this first?
So Danny's like, well, with the Leva and the whole white privilege thing, I was really enlightened this year in a good way. I'm sorry. Did I say it? I'm sorry.
And Pringle's like, what I learn? I thought you were going to go the other way. God damn. Can you just, you know, I don't know. Go the other way.
I'm still peeing in my diaper right now.
He's like, don't want to be shallow. I don't know. Come back to me. I'll think of something.
Roses are red, violets are blue. I'm drunk now. What about you? I don't know. So
nice bricks from OC callback.
Oh yeah.
So Austin's like, well, I guess what I learned is cans, Andy. Cans. All right. You know, I'm going to take back my narrative and I'm going to can it. And hopefully it'll go better next season.
And I'm going to stay away from all the outrageous monsters that are trying to take away my beer, which is everywhere, by the way. Everywhere.
And Andy's right like, now. Well, will the two of you cut the infinity loop of terror? And Austin's like, which means what, Andy? Like, what does that even mean?
Is it a Halloween ride that we're supposed to go on? I don't like being startled, Andy.
Listen, I had a good one, and I called it back, but thanks for listening. Okay.
are you going to get out of this codependent toxic cycle? I don't even like spin class. What are you talking about, cycles?
All right, Madison, let's just go to you. And she's like, personally, I've learned a lot, and I know my worth. And I'm really glad I'm done with this, Andy. Okay? And he's like, do I believe this is totally over between you two?
I said, yes. And they're absolutely not going to hook up tonight. Not at all.
Yeah. And Catherine's like, oh, you'll probably hook up like Thomas and I did last time.
And then Andy turns to Catherine and just goes, Catherine, you had a big year.
I learned when conflicts happen, instead of getting defensive, you know, things are bigger than you. So just, you know, accept the humility and you have to learn.
I was like, okay, that was a good one. So then Shep's like, summed up in one word is Taylor. I'm a good person because I have a girlfriend. Gosh.
What I'm trying to say is, Taylor, I need to let the suit out a little bit, if you know what I'm saying. I need to go to the tailor.
A good tailor is hard to find, Andy.
What I've learned, I'm hungry. I'm actually very hungry right now, but I want more, and I want to keep making money, and I'm too good of a friend, and I can only give so much great advice before I take a horse to water, and then I kill the horse in the water, and then I'm drinking horse water. I'm going to sell horse water.
They're like, what are you talking about? Catherine's like, not helping your friend. Was that a slight at me? And he's like, no, it's 100% to Austin. Like, you lead a horse, he goes in the water, and then you're like, go in the water, horse. And you're like, what are you going to dry yourself out on? You know what? I want him to drink my water. They're like,
Andy goes, okay, so every man for himself. That's what you've learned.
He's like, I'm rich now, Andy. That's what I'm saying. I'm extremely rich now. So Leva says that she's just grateful for the year because she's seen so many lives lost. But it makes her wake up and realize, you know, what am I going to do today? Because our days aren't guaranteed. And Pringle's like, can I add mine, Andy? I need to stop quit drinking so much and quit hitting on guys' girlfriends, I guess. There.
And I really have to stop drinking water right before I go to bed because, oh man, you don't want that guilt pee. Oh man. Oh,
so Leva gives the toast. Pop cheers, yeah. And Leva gives the toast, and it's basically like to health and happiest. We're so lucky, but what makes us lucky is our friendship. So here's to staying charming. And that's pretty much it.
That was it. And so Southern Charm is done. So now going forward on Fridays, we'll have some Summer House starting with, well, our Summer House recap will be on Monday for the season premiere. And then the next episode recap will be next Friday. So next week is double the Summer House recaps. Should be fun. We know it's fun because we already watched the first episode. So anyway, guys, have a wonderful weekend. Stay tuned for our bonus, which we're going to record right after this. And don't forget to check this out. If you want to re-listen to this entire recap, this is Crappens on Demand. Or if you want to see other ones, go to patreon.com/watchourcrappens and you get access to If you sign up on the Crappens On Demand level, you get access to this video and also our Discord community and also our bonus episode. Nailed it!
Bye, everybody!
Really. Bye!
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie,
she's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Patricia Murdoch, she wrote.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto. Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Capsewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.